Oh, you're fine.
Excellent. All right. So it is 12:06 here at the Naturopathic Medical Board meeting. I'm Dr. Bruce Sadlick, and with us today are from the AG's office, Ms. Campbell and Ms. Shute, and our executive director is Ms. Gail Anthony. Let's go ahead and do a formal roll call.
Dr. Sadlick?
Here.
Dr. Popia?
Here.
Ms. Gallen?
Here.
Dr. Campbell?
Present.
Dr. Spatt?
Yep.
Dr. Rubin?
Here.
We have quorum.
Excellent. Conflicts of interest, we're on number two. Dr. Rubin is recused from agenda number eight. We do have a civility policy in accordance with the open meeting law. The board has a civility policy that prohibits any type of disorderly conduct that disrupts the board from carrying out its business. Those violating this will be asked once. If you cannot behave, we'll disconnect you from this call. Consent agenda is number four. What I'd like for the with the board's permission, and we'll need a motion, is I'd like to run 4A through for you. And I'll need a motion from the board to do that, and then we'll need a second.
This is Dr. Popiel. I make a motion. We approve items 4A through 4U.
And can I get a second from a board member?
Dr. Spad, I second it.
Thank you.
And
Dr. Roll call. Aye.
Dr. Popiel?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
I abstain only because I have several members that I employ that are on that list.
Okay. Thank you. Motion carries.
Thank you. We'll move on to five. We'll do a little bit of actually, let me move into number six because we do have with us, Ms. Shute. So we'll do number six. What I'd like to do is go into make a motion to go to an executive session for legal advice.
And Dr. Sadlick, this is Beth. You're going to need to specify, is that pursuant to ARS 32431.03A2 to discuss confidential information, ARS, I'm sorry, there's a typo and it's probably my fault. 32431.03A3 to receive legal advice and ARS 32431.03A4 to discuss or consult with your attorneys regarding your position in litigation.
Yes, please.
And we'll need a second, Dr. Sadlick.
So can I get a second from one of the board members?
This is Dr. Popiel. I second that motion.
And
roll call, please. Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Dr. Popiel?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries. Board members, please remember to log off or mute your device, please, before logging. Ms. Campbell?
Hi, I'm sorry about that. I don't know what's wrong with my computer today.
Okay.
All right, so we got Ms. Campbell. And then it is 12:31. Could we do a quick roll call?
Mm-hmm. Dr. Sadlick?
Here.
Dr. Popiel?
Here.
Ms. Gallen?
Here.
Dr. Campbell?
Here.
Dr. Spatt?
Here.
Dr. Rubin?
Present.
We have quorum.
Okay, what I'd like to do is take Dr. McKean's case number 24-2 236. This is initial interview, and we'll take that, and then we'll go into Dr. Racine after that. So, Ms. Anthony, could you give us a rundown on that case 24-236?
Yes. And Dr. Sadlick, members of the board, this is case 24-236, Erica Sykes-McKean. This case came about by way of two patient complaints. Both patients allege respondent failed to supply medical records in a timely manner and failed to respond in a timely manner. A case was opened and respondent was notified of the complaints. To respond included a request for a response to the allegations along with a subpoena for medical records for each of the two patients. Respondent failed to supply the board with either a response or the patient records required under board subpoena. What she did eventually supply was what appeared to be a civil lawsuit filed with the Arizona Maricopa County Superior Court. The investigative report into this case supplied to the board with further information outlining history and background. Based on the totality of the information provided the board at this time, it is the recommendation the board order an interim psychological evaluation to confirm respondents' fitness to practice medicine.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Anthony. Is Dr. Sykes on the phone? No. Board members, we're open for discussion.
This is Dr. Rubin. I'd like to make a motion.
Go ahead, Dr. Rubin.
I'd like to make a motion for the board to order Dr. Sykes-McKean to undergo a psychological evaluation to evaluate her fitness to practice naturopathic medicine.
I'll second that motion. And if we could do roll call.
And Dr. Sadler?
Aye.
Dr. Popio?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
And board members, this is Beth. I just wanted to clarify that it's for the reasons that Ms. Anthony laid out in her introduction, and the interim order to be issued is the draft and is the form of order, which is the draft that the board has in front of it. Is that correct?
This is Dr. Rubin. That is correct, and I apologize for not including that in my motion.
I just wanted that to be on the record. Thank you, Dr. Rubin.
Okay. Thank you, board members. Let's go ahead and move on to the next case. We're going to do Dr. Peter Racine, case number 22-232, and that's a continuation of initial interview, and he is under currently an interim agreement. And I have Ms. Anthony give us a quick overview of that case again.
And Dr. Sadlick, members of the board, this is case number 22-232, Peter Racine. Board members, this is the third time respondent has been before this board relating to this specific board case. At the meeting of May 11th, 2023, the board considered additional information relating to this case. After consideration, the board voted to issue an order for an interim psychological evaluation. The board has been provided a copy of that evaluation report. Based on all the information obtained during this investigation, the following appears to be true. Dr. Racine did divert prescription medications to individuals living in the state of Wisconsin. Dr. Racine wrote prescriptions under the name of an Arizona friend / patient, his own name and the name of his wife, and shipped or caused to have shipped the medications to the end users in the state of Wisconsin. Dr. Racine provided prescription medications without documented medical need. Dr. Racine failed to keep adequate medical records and used a quote-unquote previous practice to keep records because he did not want to quote-unquote implicate his business partners. Dr. Raisinen failed to address potential side effects of the medications he diverted to patients. During the course of the investigation and in open meeting, Dr. Raisinen did make false statements to the board. Pursuant to the board order, Dr. Raisinen was involved in an evaluation process conducted by Dr. Lindsay Buckman. The evaluation confirmed that although Dr. Raisinen has sought individual therapy for issues relating to people-pleasing and boundary issues for the last 2 to 4 years, he continues to struggle with these issues.
Thank you. Dr. Raisinen, are you speaking or is your attorney speaking?
Good afternoon, Doctor. This is Mandy Carvis, Dr. Raisinen's counsel, and I will speak on his behalf today, but he is also present and available to answer questions if the board has any at this time.
Go ahead, Ms. Carvis.
Thank you, Doctor. As Ms. Anthony relayed to the board, this we have been before the board on this same matter three times. Initially, there was discussion of a consent agreement involving a term of probation of 12 to 18 months, 16 hours of continuing education, including such topics as charting, pharmacology, medical ethics, and monthly chart audits for 1 year. When we came back to the board ordered that Dr. Raisinen undergo a psychological evaluation, which he did. He met with board-approved psychologist Dr. Lindsay Buckman on three occasions. She provided a report with respect to her evaluations and findings. She concluded that he did not have any, quote, current mental health symptoms or diagnosis, but that she recommended his continued therapeutic work around boundary setting and people-pleasing. Dr. Raisinen has also provided 2 months of patient lists upon request from Ms. Anthony. She then requested 5 patient charts for each month. Those were timely provided. Per the board's order, Dr. Raisinen has also been having a medical colleague review and sign off on his patient charts since the board ordered that. We would assert today that this board now has enough information to revisit their original decision to offer Dr. Raisinen a consent agreement with some or all of the terms that were previously discussed. He has acknowledged the inappropriateness of his conduct and has learned a lot from that and is willing to abide by any terms of a consent agreement that this board would offer to him. But we believe the terms that were previously proposed back in the April meeting would be the appropriate resolution of this matter. And if such an agreement was presented, it would be signed. Thank you.
Thank you. I have some quick questions for you, Dr. Raisinen. In reference to your chart notes, did you have the chart patients that you've been seeing, did you have a colleague review those with you and sign off on those?
Yes.
Okay. And where I get a little confused is with your chart notes. When you're taking if you use the SOAP format, when you take assessment and roll it into plan, are you working through that format, what the assessment is, and then what your plan is with that patient?
I don't know if I get your question. You just restate your question for that one. I mean, that's my assessment has my plan included also in the assessment, if that's what your question is.
Right. Cause there was one of your patients you saw, basically you were talking about, doing some, hepatic liver, type, formulas for, the assessment on that. Was that just a detox method you were using, or was it more or less due to hormonal or due to toxicology? How were you coming up with your A to P portion of the note?
I guess I would need the exact one if it was hormone related. If it was hormone related, if it was
live it to the supplement. I was just assessing to see if that would be appropriate in that case, but I would need to have the exact case that you're talking about on that one.
Okay.
But I could give that to you. I mean, that's, yeah, no problem.
Okay.
But I don't do, as, you know, rule of thumb, I'm not trying to push heavy detox methods or anything like that with, you know, I don't use chelation. I don't use a lot of different things like that. So.
And do you have a colleague in the practice that will sign off your charts for you? Because some of them were signed by somebody, some of them weren't. Do you have a methodology?
No, they should all have in the assessment, at the end of the assessment, they should all have a sign off on them. One of them, I forgot to put his signature in there, or like, you know, put in that it was reviewed and assessed by him. And it may have been one of those ones, but I put it in the addendum note that it was. I just had it signed before I actually put that in the note. So yeah, no, I have somebody to do that for sure.
Okay. Board members, questions?
This is Dr. Bopiel. Dr. Sadek, was your question more so about kind of the combination of A and P on the chart notes?
Yeah, exactly. How you get from assessment to plan.
Right. Dr. Peter, what I think Dr. Sadlick was trying to say is essentially the assessment should be just that ICD-10 code, and the plan should be all of your thought process and where you're going with things. So it just looks like kind of the assessment and plan are all one big, you know, combined section, whereas it should just be, in my understanding, just the ICD-10 codes in the assessment, and then your plan should have all of the other data that you're including. I think that's what you were getting at, Dr. Sadlick. Is that correct?
Yes, Dr. Popiel. And even if you didn't put the ICD-10 codes into the assessment, just, you know, microcytic anemia or whatever it happens to be, and then what your plan would be to treat that specific abnormality. So if you went to another provider, they'd be able to, boom, look at it and say, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very confident with these, with my notes. I mean, assessment plan, sometimes I'll wrap them in because sometimes the assessment, you know, you commonly see, I feel like in medical practice, having worked in, you know, a hospital setting too, you see A/P. And so, the assessment, often thinking through everything as you're charting, it's kind of like, here's my assessment and the plan around it. The ICD-10 codes generally should be in there. I don't know of too many cases where I haven't included all the ICD-10 codes. I can't, you know, say that there was something excluded, but yeah, I mean, you know, if there's something that seems off, certainly willing to take that into consideration, but I feel pretty darn confident in my charting abilities. So if you see something though that I could be remedied, happy to take that into consideration, please.
Dr. Peter, this is Dr. Bopiel. I got one more question. It's not so much about the chart notes, but it's something that I saw that makes me worried about the potential for side effects in the future. So the tirzepatide dosing is generally a static dose for 4 weeks, and then it increases for 4 weeks. You have the patient increasing dosing on a weekly basis. How did you come up with that plan, and why, given the potential for digestive and significant side effects with those medications?
Yeah, good question. With 0.25, what I generally tell patients is that, you know, because I have routine follow-up with them over the stuff. So it's like with tirzepatide specifically in the conversation, it's like, hey, if you feel like it works for, you know, a couple days at 0.25, well, then you can move it to 0.3 for your next dose. If 0.25 happens to, you know, and you don't have any negative side effects from it, if it seems to tide you over for, you know, and you seem to feel the effect over a period of 4 or 5 days, and you don't, you know, then you can maintain that same dosing. So it's not it's not that they must do that. It's just that, I mean, the static dosing is the 0.25 for 4 weeks, and then, but the 0.25 to 0.5 is a rapid increase as well. And that increase, that will often have a lot of digestive side effects. So with experience, the slow increase over time actually is very well tolerated. And I follow up with these patients, like I'm usually about a month after starting them on it, and talk to them about it and how everything's been going. And in the meantime, they can reach out to me at any point if they have any, you know, any side effects, GI side effects otherwise. So this is something that I'd monitor very closely.
Okay. I appreciate that. I just, you know, I'm also using some of this, and, you know, I just wanted to make sure that, you know, you're not getting yourself in a position where we're having issues where somebody's having side effects because of the rapid increases, you know, or not rapid, but the increases that are essentially off label. We're already off label in the usage of this at this point. And so just kind of a thought that, you know, going off label then on the dosing may not be necessarily the best plan.
Okay. Yeah.
Just a thought.
Yeah. Okay.
This is Dr. Popiel. I don't have any more questions right at this time.
Thank you. Dr. Racen, real quick question on the tirzepatide.
Yes.
And once you start them on that, when are you going to pull an A1C on them?
I usually will do it within the first, I mean, if they don't have one to start, but they're, you know, they're overweight, and they have high, you know, hyperglycemia or whatever, I'll usually get it within the first blood draw on them, which is usually within that. I'll often do blood work on them in 6 weeks, but certainly within the first 3 months.
Okay. Board members, more questions for Dr. Racen while we have everybody?
Board members, someone may want to follow up. Doctor, because of the concerns raised in this case, while the investigation was ongoing, Dr. Racen entered into a consent an interim consent agreement where he was going to have chart reviews. He was going to have his charts co-signed by another physician. Ms. Anthony reviewed, five charts, and in the board's materials, two of those charts did not have the co-signatures, which was required by the board order. If that is the case, Dr. Racen would in fact be in violation of a board order. So the board does need to follow up on that piece and then make a determination about kind of where we go from here. The board can, as Ms. Carvis suggested, offer some sort of resolving consent agreement. The interim order, the interim consent agreement is just while this is pending, but the board could offer some sort of resolving consent agreement. It could vote it forward to a formal interview, or in the event that this, the board thinks that this, the allegations in this case, including possibly a violation of the interim order, are serious enough, vote this forward to a formal hearing.
If I may respond, we were not provided any additional information from the board as to any concerns with respect to the charts. So we're not in a position to address that in terms of which charts may or may not have been signed. I believe some of the patients that were selected, and I'd have to look again at specific patients, there may have been visits with those patients before the order went into place. So those clearly would not have a signature. After the fact, there are signatures on all of them. Dr. Racen has been compliant with that. If it was missed in one, as he's indicated, it was taken care of in an addendum. But we have received no updated investigative report and received no information that there was an alleged non-compliance. So we would contend that that there was in fact compliance, and that is not a basis to say that he is not in compliance with the current order. But again, without specific patient information, which we were not provided, we can't address that.
Did you say, Dr. Racen, that you did addendums or you did, after you did the chart, you had someone sign the chart. I'm trying to recall exactly how you phrased that.
No, I said, I'm not sure. There was one chart over the 2 month period that I did, that I had him sign. And then I didn't write in there that he had signed off on it. So that was the one that I put in addendum, and this was signed on this day by so-and-so. The other ones have all been signed per the interim consent agreement within this respective period, every single one. So, have fun looking through those, because those ones are all signed.
Let me ask our board executive director, did it, the dates of those notes, Ms. Anthony, did they correspond with after he signed the interim agreement, consent agreement?
Dr. Salek, members of the board, yes, I believe they did. And I'm checking because I think the ones that I could not find signature on were in the July batch that you were forwarded recently.
Was it after he signed the consent agreement, or were they prior?
Yes, I believe it was. That's why I did note that. But again, I'm looking for those.
Okay.
I mean, if that's the case, I mean, I can always provide the communication with that one on the signatures that were to be provided for those notes, because everything's been sent, everything's been co-signed. So,
and again, we would be happy to address those concerns. But if those concerns were going to be raised today, I was not made aware of any of such allegations, so we are not prepared to address that. But again, it's our assertion that he has been fully compliant, that he is having someone meet. He's meeting with someone and reviewing the patient charts pursuant to this board's order, and is certainly willing to consider doing that. If there's something that appears to be missing, presumably it was an oversight or a documentation error, but not an intentional one. He is, in fact, and he can explain this to you himself, he is, in fact, meeting with someone and having them sign off on all those charts pursuant to this board order.
Gail, this is Dr. Popiel. In the email that you sent with his chart notes, you commented on the two dates of service that you had questions on. Is that correct?
I believe I did.
Okay. I found one of them if that's the case, that it does show that it was signed.
Okay.
If that's the one that you listed two patients, one date of service for each where it wasn't signed.
Okay.
Or co-signed by that by the other physician. I'm seeing that on both. I see for sure on one of them that it was signed or co-signed.
Okay.
I guess.
Okay.
I don't mean to contradict you, but I'm just trying to clear this up.
No, I appreciate that very much. And what about the other one? Did you?
Well, that patient, the DS patient.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not seeing the exact date of service that you're referring to, but all of the other chart notes in that chart do appear to be co-signed by that other physician.
Okay, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, that's what I'm. I think we're good on that, actually.
Any other physician members and Ms. Gallen? Because we'll have to come up with a consent agreement. He's under interim right now. Anything else?
This is Ruben. Yeah, I have a comment. Hey, Dr. Reisman. Are you continuing to pursue and engage in continued counseling?
Yes, every 2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
And, okay, thank you. That's it, Dr. Sedilek.
Okay, thank you. Anything else about charting, his practice, any other board members? Dr. Campbell or Ms. Gallen or Dr. Spatt?
Just Dr. Spatt, I don't have any question.
Yes, go ahead, Dr. Spatt.
Oh, no, I say I don't have any questions. Sorry.
Oh, you don't. Okay. So, Dr. Asen, you're going every 2 weeks already, so you're seeing somebody. Board members, what we could do, and we'll run by Ms. Campbell also, is to take the interim consent agreement, make a consent agreement, and the question is, how long would you like to make the consent agreement? Do you want a year, 2 years, 3 years, et cetera? And then the other part of the consent agreement, and it actually wouldn't be part of it, it would be just another notification. In terms of the diversion, how would you like to handle that portion? So I'll put that out to the board members.
It's Dr. Popiel. I don't have where the interim consent agreement stands. Is there, Ms. Anthony, could you give us a summary of what the interim consent agreement is covering?
Dr. Popiel, I have that pulled up right here.
Okay, that's fine.
Dr. Raisinen entered into the interim consent agreement effective May 22nd of this year. The interim consent agreement just requires during the pendency of the board's investigation that Dr. Raisinen have all of his chart notes co-signed by a physician licensed in the state of Arizona, that in order to monitor that compliance, Dr. Raisinen supply the board with 5 patient charts a month.
Okay. Was there any other, did we do any other CEUs or anything like that at the initial time?
No, not for purposes of the interim. So there's no counseling requirement, no continuing education requirements, just the 5 chart reviews.
Okay.
So I have some suggestions, board members. Let's see if we can get a conclusion. Would be, he's seeing counseling right now. I would probably, Dr. Asen, what's your intent? And we'll address this. We'll go through this one by one. With the counseling, is your intention to continue counseling every 2 weeks? Or are you going to decrease to every 3 to 4 weeks? Have you discussed it with your therapist?
I haven't discussed it no less than once a month, but I prefer going every other week. That's my preference.
So one thing we could put in his consent agreement would be basically required monthly visits with a licensed psychologist, therapist. And then we could ask for that practitioner to give us a quarterly report on Dr. Raisinen's progress. That's one suggestion. And then the other one would be obviously to keep signing off the charts. And my other one would be to include CME. I think the CME could be accomplished with 8 hours of charting. So let's start there and get everyone's feedback.
Can we, this is Dr. Popiel, are we also able to wrap kind of a letter of concern into our consent agreement? I guess, how do we address, more so the diversion of the meds, how do we address that? What sort of quote unquote penalty or probation or whatever might we institute for that?
So Dr. Popiel, this is Beth. That is the, one of the basis of the consent agreement, and there will be, every consent agreement contains findings of fact, and there will be, findings of fact, related to, the inappropriate prescribing diversion of the medication.
This is Dr. Campbell. I think that one suggestion that I might have regarding the consent agreement specifically for the counseling aspect, is that, as far as, you know, he can continue naturally, as long as he'd like, but I think as a board, we should mandate a minimum of 6 months of counseling. And for the first 3 months, a minimum of 2 sessions per month for the first 3 months. And then in month 4, 5, and 6, a minimum of 1 session per month. And then at the end of 6 months, if there are no concerns, the provider, the practitioner would provide the board a letter indicating, related to the concerns that, the board has regarding, patient boundaries, and things of that nature, that, that provider has no further, concerns, with respect to that, and that they have, together that they have gone over ways to set boundaries and to professionally handle patients that may be drug seeking or anything of that nature, and that there are no further concerns. And if there are, to recommend to the board at that time, you know, how long and what other sessions would be needed. But a letter of clearance could be offered at 6 months. And then that would satisfy that component of the consent agreement. And then also, I know that the AMA offers continuing medical training related to patient boundaries, and I think that would be an additional aid to mandate that within the extra CME training that we would require. And then also, if there is a separate additional course in addition to that, that would be related to how organizations are now sending third parties in to physician offices to attempt to acquire prescriptions and recognizing those symptoms, that I believe the DEA might put on a training related to that. But that would just be you know, one of the recommendations from the board. And I would be in favor of, two years of probation. I understand that we had talked about much less earlier, but then we had an issue, related to not disclosing, and being truthful with the board. And so I feel that extra time is warranted. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Campbell. Other board members, suggestions?
Hey, this is Ruben. Thank you, Dr. Campbell. That was very well stated. Dr. Sadalek, what you had stated was very much in line with what I was thinking, and so I don't have anything additional to add.
Okay. Dr. Popeo, Dr. Spad.
Yeah, I would like to wrap in what Dr. Campbell said to you, kind of your synopsis of, you know, some of our summary of options to proceed forward. So I definitely like the ongoing counseling, probation for a period of 1 to 2 years, the cosign charts, and then I do like the CMEs in the boundaries if we can find something like that.
Okay. I've been making some notes as we've been rolling along.
I'm sorry, this is Gail. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to let the board know, I believe the AMA boundary CME is a total of 14 hours.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Maybe that we could start off with the duration. So it was brought up 2 years probation. I agree with what you're saying, Dr. Campbell. I think it would be helpful for Dr. Rayson to have, if he chooses to see counseling every twice a month, that's great. But at least monthly, and then have a quarterly report. I don't, if we want him to continue counseling for the 2 years that he's on probation, he could probably just do a quarterly check-in with his therapist. And that's more or less your area of expertise. So I want to get your opinion, Dr. Campbell.
Ultimately, if you think that the counseling that would be on mandate would be appropriate for the full 2 years, I was thinking that were you in disagreement with the 6 month thing that I suggested, or
my only concern is if he could at least for the first year. You know, I'm concerned due to the fact that we had such a volume of issues to deal with, that I think it would be helpful for him to at least have someone to check in on. If he does it monthly or every 2 weeks, you know, even better.
Well, what do you think about going with the 6 month strategy that I entertained earlier, and then also requiring that after that 6 months, and that letter that we receive, all is well, fine, then he's going to see the provider back in another 3 months, which would be on month 9, just simply as a check-in. How are things going? Everything's going good, no concerns, or these are the issues we need to address then. And then that provider would just send a very simple letter, checked in, everything is going well, no other issues, and then also, again, another check-in on month 12, and provided that the 6 month letter, 9 month and 12 month letters are all in line with our expectations, then he would have satisfied the counseling component of the order.
I'm fine with that. Let's ask the other board members, and I'll have you probably state that in our motion. But board members, what are your thoughts on the psychology portion of this consent agreement?
This is Dr. Popiel. I like what Dr. Campbell had just kind of outlined. I'm on board with that.
Okay.
This is Ruben, me too.
Dr. Spatt and Ms. Gellin, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, this is Dr. Spatt. I agree with Dr. Campbell as well.
Okay. Ms. Gellin?
Me too. Yeah, I'm on board.
I like the 14 hours in patient boundaries, the AMA course. I think that's, you know, critical, because there's a lot of items that unfortunately are happening with docs in terms of practice. And then the only thing I probably would add to that would be charting. I think that's 8 hours. So that would bring us to 22 hours. And we're in August, so we could make that within 6 months. So his license would come up for renewal in January. Dr. Rayson, do you think you'd be able to get the CME done by the end of December?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Dr. Stalak, this is Spatt. So is that on top of the 30 unit that we have?
Yeah, it'd have to be, because those specific courses, they aren't required in our 30.
Okay, thank you. I just want to clarify that.
And then the probation would be 2 years. And then he'd have to have a sign-off physician on his charting, which he already has somebody. Any other thoughts the board members have?
This is Dr. Bobbio. I don't. I don't have anything else to add to this.
Okay. Then let me go ahead and put the motion in, and the psychological portion, Dr. Campbell, have you speak on. So my motion would be a consent agreement for 2 years with the sign off of charts by his physician that was obviously in his office, and making sure that physician's aware. CME would be patient boundaries, and the AMA does offer that. Charting, I believe that charting course is offered through the AZNMA, and that would be a total of 22 hours with his 30. That's his requirement. And then the psychological component, Dr. Campbell, could you speak on for us?
Sure. So the counseling aspect will take place over a period of 1 year. The first 6 months will be active participation, in the sense that he will accomplish a minimum of 2 sessions per month for the first 3 months. And then in months 4, 5, and 6, a minimum of 1 session per month. You can do more if you'd like, or if it's deemed appropriate. At 6 months, we'll get a letter that outlines progress, and that there are no further concerns. At that point, as far as the board is concerned, he would return 3 months later on month 9 to do a check-in, and we would get a very basic letter at that point outlining no further concerns and continued progress. And then again, in month 12, that would finalize and conclude the counseling aspect for the consent agreement.
So Dr. Campbell, just so I'm clear for purposes of writing this, so after month 6, unless recommended by the provider, he wouldn't be required to attend any minimum number of counseling sessions?
No, that's correct. He's just going to do a check-in on month 9 and 12 again.
Okay. But if recommended by the counselor at month 6, he would have to continue undergoing that as that counselor recommended, correct?
Please.
Okay. And for counseling, this would be a board approved or board staff approved mental health provider, a psychologist, or a behavioral health professional licensed to practice at the independent level. Is that what you wanted?
Please.
May I ask a question in that regard? I mean, I think Dr. Raisinen would certainly prefer to continue with the counselor that he already has a relationship established with. He's happy to provide the board with that information, but I think for the sake of therapeutic continuity, it would make more sense from a patient standpoint for him to be able to at least propose to continue with his current counselor, which was someone that he was seeing absent the board order. The psychological evaluation was through a board approved person who recommended he continue with his counselor who he's already established with. So for therapeutic continuity, I would request that he be allowed to continue with his current counselor.
And Ms. Carvis, can you help me out? How is his current counselor licensed?
Dr. Raisinen would have to address that.
She's a licensed professional counselor. She's an LPC.
Thank you.
Yeah, as far as provided somebody's licensed by the state of Arizona and in good standing with their board, and there's an established relationship, and that we're making progress, then I think that barring there's no objection from our counsel, I think that would be okay.
Any other thoughts from the board members, as we draw closure on the consent agreement? No? Ms. Campbell, do you have the highlights of that? And Ms. Anthony?
Yeah, Dr. Sadlick? Yeah, I do. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so I'll make a motion that we approve the consent agreement that we were able to draft at today's meeting.
Does Dr. Popiel second that motion?
And Dr. Sadlick and Dr. Propil, usually it's, you know, offer the consent agreement as stated. And if not accepted, forward this matter to formal interview or formal hearing.
So I'll make the motion that the consent agreement we drafted, get basically approved and signed by, Dr. Rayson and Ms. Carvis within 30 days of their receipt of that.
And then if not so accepted, not, to formal hearing, to, yeah, formal interview?
If not, we're going to have to, it'd be much easier just to go to formal hearing. So I think it'd be on the benefit of Dr. Rayson and his legal counsel to get this done 30 days upon their receipt. Is that possible, Ms. Carvis?
Yes, that's certainly possible within 30 days of receipt, and it's certainly our intent that we would enter into said consent agreement.
Okay, and if we can't, then we'll just go to formal interview. I got a second from Dr. Popiel, so if I could get Ms. Anthony to do roll call.
Well, and is Dr. Propil, is he okay with the, if not accepted within 30 days to formal hearing?
Is Dr. Propil, yes, that's fine.
And Dr. Sadlick?
Yes.
Dr. Propil?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spratt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Board members, let's roll on to number five. We'll go to 5C as in cat, and that is case number 22-235, and that's Dr. Court. And Dr. Court, are you with us?
Good morning or good afternoon, members of the board. This is David Williams. I'm appearing for Dr. Court. She unfortunately had a conflict and was not able to be here today.
Okay. Hi, Mr. Williams. Let's go ahead and get an overview from our executive director on that case.
Dr. Sadlick, members of the board, this is case number 22-235. On 6/20/2023, the board received a complaint from LM regarding her mother-in-law, MM, who is a patient at Invita. LM alleges respondent to be practicing outside of her Arizona naturopathic medical scope of practice. MM appears to be biased, and in fact, in her complaint, she goes so far as to state, quote, naturopaths should not have become licensure in the state of Arizona, end quote. It should also be noted that MM chose to file a complaint with the Arizona Medical Board regarding Dr. Gail Roberts. According to a letter dated June 14, 2023, when patient MM was made aware of the medical board complaint her daughter-in-law had filed, she filed a letter with the medical board in disagreement with the complaint and made it clear that it was her choice to pursue medical care at Invita for her colon cancer. By subpoena, the board received MM's medical records from Invita. The records show MM signed numerous consent forms, most of which were dated on or around July 26, 2022. According to the records, respondent prescribed some medications, none of which are cancer chemotherapeutic medications. The medical records indicate 50 dates of service for MM. Respondent saw MM a total of 8 times out of those 50 dates. It should be noted, MM, the patient, was not the complainant in this case. From the information provided and review of the medical records, MM made her own decision to obtain medical care at Invita. It should also be noted, according to the records, MM did obtain medical care from other sources, and she refused surgery and other conventional treatments that may or may not have had a positive result on her outcome. Relating to the allegations that respondent may have acted outside of her scope, in review of the medical records, it is clear respondent was not the prescribing physician for any cancer chemotherapeutics or chemotherapy treatment that were provided to MM.
Is the complainant on the line? Okay. Let me open it up to board members on their thoughts with this.
There's nothing. This is Dr. Popiel. I would make a motion we dismiss this case.
This is Ruben. I would second the motion of that matter.
Gail, could you get a roll call for us?
I don't think we made the official motion, did we?
I think Dr. Popiel made the motion. I think you.
This is Ruben. If that was an official motion, then this is an official second.
It was an official motion.
Okay.
And this is an...
Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Dr. Popiel?
Aye.
Ms. Gallin?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Members of the board, thank you for your consideration today.
Thank you, Mr. Williams.
Have a good day.
You too. Let's go ahead and move on to next case would be case number 24-238. And this is Dr. Meads. And Dr. Meads, are you on the phone? No, Dr. Meads.
Okay.
Yeah, could you review that for us?
Yes. Dr. Sadlick, members of the board, this is case number 24-238. Dr. Meads allowed his license to expire while on probation and practiced medicine without a current license. The due date for the license renewal was 1-1-2023. Pursuant to statute, license holders do have a grace period of 60 days in which they may renew their license by submitting the application for renewal and paying the renewal fees plus the late fee. Dr. Meads failed to renew by 1-1-2023 and failed to renew during the grace period. By his own admission, applicant did practice after the license expiration date on 1-1-2023. In summary, at the meeting of July 13th, 2023, the board reviewed applicant's reinstatement application for expired license. At that meeting, the board voted to reinstate applicant's medical license via a consent agreement and voted to open a case regarding applicants practicing medicine without a current medical license. In an effort to streamline this process, and because applicant did admit to practicing medicine on an expired license, the following consent agreement is being presented to the board for review and possible approval. The consent agreement draft addresses both the applicant's reinstatement of licensure with the extended probation time and the disciplinary action decree of censure addressing applicants practicing medicine without a current license. This is only a draft. The board may accept the consent, deny the consent, or make modifications to the consent.
My thought with the consent would be, I think Dr. Mead told us too, he practices, but he's not that active. So maybe if he did 8 hours of CME charting, that could be added along with the decree of censure. I'll let the board members kind of decide how they want to do that.
Dr. Sadlick, this is Dr. Rubin. Are you looking to add that CME just to make sure he keeps his skills sharp?
Yes, sir.
Got it. And Dr. Sadlick, could you remind me what a decree of censure is?
I think I'm going to let our AG do that for us.
Dr. Rubin, it is it's a disciplinary action as is a probationary term, both are disciplinary actions. The decree of censure, as the executive director noted, was put in there to acknowledge the practicing on an expired license. And the probationary period is in the proposed consent agreement, because that would basically finish out the probation that he was on his previous license when it went expired.
Got it. Thank you. This is Dr. Lubin. Dr. Sadelik, I think that's a brilliant suggestion. I would agree with that.
Okay. Then we'll roll that into the draft that Ms. Anthony's come up with, and that's CME for 8. And that should do it. Let me, I'll make the motion for that, and then we'll need a second. Then we're going to need a roll call.
Dr. Sadler, members of the board, I'm sorry. Just so for clarification, the 8 hours in CME, when are those due by?
Let's go ahead and might as well make it by December 31st. Along with his 30, so that'd be 38 hours.
Okay, but it is above the 30 hours required, correct?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. And in the if the consent agreement is not signed within 30 days?
If it's not signed within 30 days, then I think the easiest way would just be to move this to formal interview.
And I would like to do roll call, please. Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Dr. Popio? Dr. Popio?
Aye, sorry.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spratt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Let's move on. We're on to 5E, and this is Melissa and Talaki, I think, if I mispronounced that, my apologies. And this is for case number 22-233, continuation of initial interview. And I'll ask Ms. Anthony to give us a quick overview of that again.
And Dr. Sadlick, members of the board, at the meeting of June 8th, 2023, the board reviewed case number 22-233. At that meeting, the board advised respondent to the designation, quote unquote, traditional naturopath was not acceptable for her to use in the state of Arizona due to the fact she is not licensed to practice naturopathic medicine in this state. The board voted to give respondent 60 days to remove the title from all website listings in the investigative report relating to this matter, and to change her registered credential relating to her NPI number. As of 7/25/2023, there still are several Facebook posts continue to be visible that include the designation naturopath or traditional naturopath. The remainder of the websites outlined in the investigative report appear to have been changed.
Is Melissa on the line? No. Members, your thoughts?
Hello.
Oh, hi, Melissa. Okay, I see you. Can you clarify those Facebook posts for us?
Yes, I certainly can. I was unable to change the Facebook title until the 31st of July. I had informed Miss Anthony of that because the name had previously been changed, and it was a 60-day period before they would let me change it again. So I did notify Miss Anthony of that, and it was changed on the 1st of August. So even though those posts will show up on a search engine with that title, if you click on that search engine, it will show the updated title of my business, which has no mention of the name naturopath. So that's all been attended to.
And And if someone does contact you for an appointment or a consultation, however you're doing that, how do you hold yourself out professionally?
As far as title goes?
Yeah, do you say you're just a health counselor, a health coach?
A holistic health practitioner, because I do have qualifications in nutrition and herbal medicine.
Okay. Board members, your thoughts?
Dr. Rubin here. I thought Ms. Tolokai did a good job and has shown great effort, and I'm satisfied at this point.
Okay. Dr. Popio?
I would agree with that. I don't have any additional concerns.
What we could do is we could make a motion for our executive director to, within 60 or 90 days, go back in and double check that those Facebook postings are no longer there. That would be my only thought on that case. It appears that she is trying to get that expunged from her Facebook. So I'll make a motion, unless there's continuation of discussion, that basically the case, I believe, was already, correct me if I'm wrong, Dale, was that already forwarded to the Attorney General for practicing medicine without a license?
It was not.
Was not, okay. I would maybe then suggest that we revisit that. How long will it take you to get the expunging from Facebook? You said 60 days, 90 days?
It should be in effect right now, sir.
Okay. So suggestions that the board members have on this.
This is Dr. Popiel. Bruce, you're thinking to just table this case for 3 months and reassess the internet, the internet visibility, and then decide from there?
Yeah, I think that might be the easiest, unless our executive director or anyone feels differently. Any other board member suggestions?
Miss Melissa, you said that, this is Dr. Campbell, you said that with regard to initially when the board first gave you the order, when you were trying to change the name, that because it was a rather new page on Facebook, that their requirement was that before you can change your name, you have to wait 60 total days. And then that 60 total days expired on around August 1st or July 31st. And because of that, then you were able to change your name. And so now that if somebody was to go and find you on Facebook, if they go directly into your profile, they would find that the name has been changed and updated to what the board advised previously. And so in your mind, you're now in compliance. Is that what I understood?
Yes, Dr. Campbell, I wasn't able to change it until the 1st of August, and the title now reads Nature's Apothecary, which is my new trade name, and there's no mention of naturopath, but if there are any posts that do mention that, if Miss Anthony would kindly forward them to me, I would be most happy to correct them straight away, but the title itself does not have any mention of naturopath whatsoever.
Miss Anthony, does that sound consistent with everything that came up on your end?
And so I think I did this update review. As I was on 7/25/23. So these were still available as of that date. We're being told that as of August 1st, it's been removed. So if the board would like, I can do one final review of this. And if there's nothing there,
I suppose we could dismiss, or if there is something there, we could bring this back at the next meeting.
That definitely sounds like a plan to me. If everybody else is good with that, Director Anthony, staff would do one more check, and if it's found to be in compliance, the case would be dismissed. If not found in compliance, she would notify Ms. Melissa what needs to be done, and the issue would be brought back before the board at the next meeting for us to move forward with whatever's appropriate at that time. And I'll make that a motion unless you'd like more discussion on it, Mr. Chairman.
No, Dr. Campbell, I don't know if the other board members want to have further discussion. I think your thought process is great, and I appreciate it.
So, Dr. Campbell, this is Beth, because that's a discretionary choice, it would have to, if the board wants to table this until its next meeting, which would be its September meeting, at which point, assuming there is compliance, the board can dismiss it then, but it would need to be placed on the board's September agenda.
Now, thank you for that. And Ms. Anthony, was the concern in the actual title, or was that in the body of the Facebook information? Was it the title of her, like the name of her business, that was the issue?
Yeah, so the Facebook posts that come up when you just do a generalized Google search, these Facebook posts come up, and it does come up with naturopath or traditional naturopath within the information that pops up on the Google search. And all of these seem to be under Facebook posts.
I see. Okay. Well, yeah, I suppose if we could just... So this is Dr. Campbell. I'll make a motion that we table this case for further staff investigation in order to verify compliance until the next meeting.
I'll second your motion, Dr. Campbell.
And roll call, please. Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Dr. Popio?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spratt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Let's go ahead. I'm looking at our agenda. We're on, we've already gotten six done. We already have seven done. Let's go ahead if the board wants to roll on to number eight, or do board members need a break?
This is Dr. Popio. I say continue and wrap it up after we finish up.
Okay. Let's move on to roll number eight, and that's status of judicial review, Colleen Huber. So I'll make the motion that we go into executive session for legal advice.
Dr. Sadlick, if the board has any questions, I am certainly happy to answer those questions in executive session. I have provided a memo to the board with the status of this case. The only further update I have is that we found out after I had submitted that memo that Dr. Huber's motion for reconsideration of the court's denial of her motion to stay had been denied by the court, which means that the status of her license remains revoked.
Does anyone have any question? Do you want to go into executive session, or is everyone pretty clear?
I don't think we need to go in unless anyone has questions.
Okay. Dr. Campbell, anything for Ms. Campbell on that?
Nothing for me. Thank you so much for that. We appreciate your help.
Dr. Spatt? Yeah.
No, I don't have any other questions. Thank you.
Dr. Rubin? Anything for Ms. Campbell?
I'm recused.
Okay, that's right. You are. And Ms. Gallen?
No, nothing I need to go into executive session for.
Okay, great. Let's move on to that, bring us to number 9, review consideration and possible action regarding application for renewal of certificate to dispense. And that would be 9A. So Dr. Propio is recused. And I'll make a motion for approving his application for certificate to dispense.
This is Ruben, second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries.
Next, we'll move into number 9B as in boy. Next up, Dr. Dan Rubin. I'll make a motion for his certificate to dispense.
This is Dr. Wolfiel. I second that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries.
Next would be Dr. Tam Spatt. I'll make a motion for his renewal for certificate to dispense.
This is Dr. Propio. I'll second that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries.
And then we'll move into 10, which is Executive Director Budget. And we'll go 10A through G. Yeah, I'll let Ms. Anthony take it from here.
Thank you. Hopefully everybody had a chance to review. We did have appropriation increase this year to $215,200. CSB does not have the July completed numbers yet, so we're waiting on those. Current license numbers, those are reflected. Board cases under investigation, all that information is there. If anybody has any questions about that. The Sunset Audit Report, there's no new information updates from last month. Legislation, the legislature actually adjourned finally on July 31st, 2023. Ventia is, we're looking at September, maybe. Ventia is way behind on building all of the board's databases. So it may actually not go into completion and up and running until after the license renewal period for the end of December, but we'll keep you posted on that. And then the rules update. Just quickly, I know that Dr. Rubin requested this item to be placed on the next agenda. I didn't place it on this agenda, the MA discussion, because I wasn't sure that he was going to be present. So that will be on September agenda. The medical assistant rule needs to go to GIRC before October. And so my plan is to just move that forward to GIRC. If for some reason the board decides they want to get rid of the medical assistant requirement, that's a statutory requirement, then we would have to go through legislation change to do that. So we might as well go ahead and get the rule through, because that was quite the hurdle to get to where we are right now. And then again, like I said, if the board decides to get rid of the medical assistant statute, then we can move forward with potential legislative action. The dispensing rule, I request for the secondary approval from the governor's office will be submitted shortly. Hopefully, when we get that, that will be go forward to GIRC as well. Did anybody have questions on those?
No questions. Okay, so we have accomplished 10A through G. And if there's no questions, then I'll move on to number 11. Future agenda items. Is there anything that the board members or executive director or Ms. Campbell would like to have as a future agenda item? No? I'll move on to number 12. Call to the public. And I'll do our countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Nothing for that. And we're on to 13, unless any board members have something they'd like to add. No?
I move to adjourn.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. We made some good time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Take care. Have a good afternoon.
You too.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye. See ya.